Yo.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your host, Zach New, and I'm here with my buddy, my friend, my husband, my wife, Jordan.
Husband and wife, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, it's 2021, dog.
That it is. That it is. All right. All right, cool. Now that we got that out of the way, I am all ready.
Yeah, I think I could pop us off. I mean, the other day we got into how to be a better forgiver. And the bullet points I had listed were forgive yourself for the things you do to yourself and for also the things you do to others. And I think both kind of go hand in hand with a version of self-worth. And I think we can start with forgive yourself for what you do to yourself, because forgiving yourself from shortcomings can equal finding love in real life and understanding yourself better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's so funny, 'cause, one of my questions or topic points here is when to forgive yourself. And, you know, that goes in like toxic relationships, your mistakes, or other people's mistakes, and your thoughts and feelings. And that's really interesting that you bring up that last part that you said, that forgiveness of others and yourself is a greater being of self-worth and tying into our identity of who we decide to be. Because really, we decide. The choice is ours to decide who we want to be at the end of the day.
Yes, and when I'm talking about forgiveness, I am far from being self-centered. Forgiveness is not about just feeling good about yourself. It's also better in the relationship of those around you, because
for greater good.
Yes, because you know your lack of confidence doesn't just hurt you; it hurts those in your life. Because those in your life need you to have self-confidence so you can survive. You know, we're out in the jungle; it's just you and me, and we need to go in different directions to forage for resources. I need you to have self-confidence in yourself as a person to do what you need to do. And now if I feel you lack self-confidence and that you're going to freeze up when you see like a tiger or something, then now I'm like, now I don't trust you because you don't trust yourself. So in order for me to trust you, I'm going to need you to love yourself. And how do you love yourself? You forgive your past shortcomings. And I think this all connects like a root, like the root of all these problems from childhood, where we get shortcomings that lead to insecurity, which lead to a lack of love, which lead to a deeper pit of insecurity. Then people see that, then now they don't trust you. Now you're even more insecure. And now you don't trust anyone because now they don't trust you. So I think the root to all of this is learning how to forgive yourself for your shortcomings.
And before we dive into the forgiveness of your shortcomings, have you ever, actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of the story of Buddha and Ananda.
I don't think so.
All right, so Buddha and Ananda are traveling through the forest, and they're trying to reach a destination of some town. And the Buddha tells Ananda that it's just 2 miles to our destination. 2 miles. Well, they get 2 miles and still no town. And after traveling for some time, Ananda and Buddha both begin to get weary and tired. And Ananda asks Buddha, "I thought you said 2 miles. And Buddha nods his head, "Yes, 2 miles. They come across a man. And Ananda asks the man, "How far is the nearest town?" The man looks at him, looks at Buddha, laughs, and says 2 miles. The Buddha laughs, leaving Ananda in confusion. They continue on, another 2 miles, still no town. They reach a woman. Ananda asks the woman, how far is the nearest town? She looks at Buddha and Ananda, laughs, smiles, and says, just 2 more miles. And they travel on further. 2 miles pass, a little further past, and they reach the third man. Finally, Ananda asks the third man, I've asked 2 previous people how close the nearest town is. They both told me 2 miles. 2 miles. Can you please tell me how far is the nearest town from here? The man looks at Buddha and him, laughs, smiles, and says, just 2 more miles. And as Ananda and Buddha travel down 2 more miles, eventually not reaching the town, Ananda stops in frustration under a big tree, looks at Buddha, and finally asks, you told me 2 miles at the beginning of our trip was how far it would take to reach our destination. Why would you lie to me? Buddha laughs and smiles, not saying a word, leaving Ananda confused, leading to another question of his. Buddha, why were you and the other 3 people laughing every time I asked that question? And Buddha looked at Ananda and said, if they were to tell you the truth, you would not have gone any further.
And
just like in life, it was a form of encouragement. So as they were not lying, but encouraging to continue down that destination, it's kind of the same way with forgiveness. If you see how far your destination is into forgiving someone, like if we're talking like serious things and forgiveness, like a toxic relationship or any mistakes you made, that form of encouragement from others is helpful for you to not only forgive yourself for your mistakes or for allowing people to walk over you, whatever it may be, but it leads to forgiveness in others. So it's always nice to have that form of encouragement to ignite, you know, that flame to forgive yourself and others, because that self-worthiness takes, it's, you know, it's a further destination than what, you know, is being told to you, but it's an encouraging adventure to forgiveness itself, like that blissful feeling, you know. If you ever like get into such a negative self-talk about yourself, I mean, like many of us have, you know, you begin to go down the path of self-doubt and anger, hate, whatever that may be. And then what leads you back down the right path is the people that say, hey, you know, you're doing a good job. You should keep going. Don't give up on yourself. So that's the people telling you, you know, just 2 more miles. And then eventually you'll align down your path of forgiveness to heal yourself, which then is like a form of healing for others.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, a slightly unrelated example, just 2 miles. It's fine. Just 2 miles. You know, mm-hmm. I tell myself something similar when I'm working out. That's fine. Just 5 more reps. 5 more reps later, that's fine. Just 5 more reps. It's like you can do an extra 20 reps by just telling yourself just 5 more each time.
Yep. It's the baby steps, right?
Yes.
They're far more encouraging than looking at the grand picture of things. Because if your destination was like 30 miles or whatever, or 50 reps, and you're just starting, you're like, damn, 50 reps? I got to do 50 reps? You might not even do it. You're already setting yourself back at that moment. But once you like start, hey, let's just start with 5. Hey, okay, 10 more. Hey, let's push it a little more. You know, let's try to add 15. And then by the time you know it, you're at 50.
Yes, yes. Yes. So
I think that's like it's a mental thing at that point. That's like a first mental step I always think of when it comes to forgiveness.
Yes, like it's funny how we're speaking about self-forgiveness more than forgiving others. I'm assuming a lot of people coming in are thinking about how do I forgive my ex? Like I was super victimized, you know, not literally, but you know, I'm just giving an example. You know, I mean, I think it'd be a good segue to talk about that. Like, is there a relationship like with a family or friend where something was said or done to you where you just felt bitter and it was up to you to cope with it and you had to?
Okay, so this is good. In a relationship, who should forgive first? Well, if the people, if we're always pushing the goal onto the other person to start, that person's going to be thinking the same thing, you know? They're like, well, you know, who should forgive first? It's you. You should forgive first. And then the other person's like, no, you should forgive first. So then it's a stalemate of just pointing fingers and you're really going nowhere. But once you forgive yourself, it allows room. It's like a cycle, you know, it's a connection kind of thing. So you forgive yourself, create this energy. And I guess in a relationship, where did you want to go in a relationship? Like a romantic relationship or.
You can say any example you want, man.
All right, so recently I saw in 2020 that. I think it was Google released this that how to hit your partner without anyone noticing was the like Googled over a billion times or something in 2020. So we're gonna go to the toxic extremes of romantic relationships. Let's start there. Like if you're dealing with like abuse, physical or verbal, forgiveness will be far from your mind. It will be probably the last thing because you're in survival mode at that point, right?
Yes.
So you're trying to survive the situation. And I think sometimes it escalates to too forgiving. Like you either are too forgiving or not forgiving at all. So we'll start with the furthest extreme of too forgiving. You know, so there's people who are in abusive relationships that forgive the partner immediately, instantaneously after being abused, however that may be. And you know, that's a toxic way of living because you're not forgiving yourself. You're forgetting yourself like you don't matter, like your self-worth is entitled to being abused. So then really you're forgiving their actions. And when you're forgiving their actions constantly, and like it'll just keep repeating itself until you learn to forgive yourself. And then when you learn to forgive yourself, you're probably gonna break away from that toxic relationship. And that forgiveness of yourself is then forgiving of them because you're breaking away from something toxic. Because that's what they needed too. Because they're not in a place to be in a relationship if they're willing to abuse you. Verbally or physically. And then you can go to the other extreme of not forgiving enough or not forgiving at all. So when you're not forgiving at all in a toxic relationship, then it becomes just this bitter hatred, kind of complacent toxic relationship. And your guys both dislike each other, both don't love each other. You know, that's why you get like 30 year marriages that have been both partners have been unhappy for like 20 of them, right? Because they're used to the conditions of, you know, once you're married, you're doing it for life. But when you're doing it for life in a toxic way, you're really not doing it the right way for yourself. So then that self-worth is really the most important thing in any toxic relationships. You must put your self-worth before others. Because
Yes,
it reflects.
and I know I wanted to add in on your first point of not forgiving enough. I think that can be settled with one sentence. respect others' decisions. Like, geez, like, I'd say there's no use having a relationship with anyone on a friendship level, partner level, or relative level if you don't respect their decisions. Yeah. Because we are the author of our own decisions. And
yes.
I think I've gotten over some of the worst victimizations that I've had in my life by just simply respecting their decision. I don't like their decision. In fact, I despise them for it, but I can still pride myself on my ability to respect their decision because that shows I'm strong and I'm mature. So if at the end of the day, I can respect your decision, that means I can respect mine as well.
So then when it comes to like scandals, I say like cheating, because it's one thing to like go through abuse and stuff like that, and to forgive and not forgive, because that's like serious stuff. And so is cheating. But when it comes to cheating, it seems like forgiveness can go either of the extremes, is forgiving too easily or not forgiving enough. So when it comes to cheating, where do you think forgiveness lies in the middle of that?
But that's where I get into the discussion of self-love. I think a lot of us lack that self-love to look within ourselves and forgive others because we haven't really been conditioned to forgive ourselves. So how are we supposed to just forgive others for something that bad? Yeah. So that's why I say self-love is the foundation to all forgiveness. Then once you have forgiveness, your life is just going to be better. You're going to kick ass and no one can tell you shit about it because you're not a victim. You can be victimized without being a victim.
You can be victimized without being a victim.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good one. So then really this goes back to your power within, is what you're willing to allow and what you're, you know, it's boundaries. So in a romantic, in any relationship with forgiveness involved, there's boundaries to it. I think forgiveness is a boundary. It's like, what will you allow on one side and what will you not allow on the other side? Which then like corresponds to what will you forgive, what will you not forgive. So I think it's important to set those boundaries, not only in romantic relationships, but especially in your like daily relationships with your friends, your family. Like those boundaries really go a long way.
And yourself, because a lot of people do things they cannot forgive themselves for. Like, they literally say, like, when I wish I had never done it, now the guilt, like, is eating me alive. It's like, people really struggle with depression because of the things they've done to people and themselves before. And I think it really comes from deep within as well. So you also got to set those boundaries for yourself. Like, what things can I do and can I not do in which I won't forgive myself if I cross that line?
Yes, this is actually perfect for me because this is how I've always felt when I get depressed, is the guilt and shame of who I was as a kid and growing up or how I treated others. It's almost like I look back at it and I'm like, you know, fuck you, man. Like, why would you do that? Like I get so shameful and filled with guilt that I would do those things to others because I was hurting inside. This is just a reflection now. At the time, I didn't know I was hurting. I thought, you know, I was unconscious of that. You know, that was a subconscious feeling that I didn't recognize. I was just living at that point. I thought I was a great person or whatever. But then I look back at it, I'm like, man, why was I like that? You know, all these questions that I need answered. So that's perfect. Is to exactly what you just said. Can you repeat that? The phrase of forgiving you.
Oh, what was
that?
Yes, I mean, I was following up on something you said about setting those boundaries of what can you forgive and what can't you. And I feel like not just with other people, you also got to set those boundaries with yourself, because people are depressed and being eaten alive by their own guilt because they didn't set those boundaries for themselves. So they crossed the line. They couldn't swallow. They bit off more than they could chew. They couldn't swallow it. And now that guilt is bothering them. And I think it's important to set those boundaries for yourself. Like, what lines can you cross with
So there
yourself?
it is. That's what I was looking for, is the boundaries that we're willing to cross and not cross within ourselves. So looking back on the guilt and shame that I feel, that was like a boundary. I was like, I don't know if I can go back and forgive what I did and who I was, because it was awful how I treated others, the actions I did, the self-talk I had of myself. So that boundary within, I feel like can also be harmful, because when you put a boundary, you look at it as a wall. Sometimes it you put a wall up, ever so high of how far you want to see over the wall. And this wall for me was like the Great Wall of China. It was like it was right in front of me. So that guilt and shame is where I was. And on the other side was forgiveness, peace, and love, gratitude, everything above that I'm looking for. But that wall was so huge that I had no idea how to cross it, how to get over the wall, get over that boundary. So I think the struggle with that is, how do people get over such gigantic walls that are holding them back from actually forgiving themselves and rising above?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would wager that it's more about going through a problem than over it. I think going over it implies that you can forget about it and just like move away from it. But contrary to popular belief, a lot of our problems define us, and we also define ourselves afterwards. So if we try to step over a problem and run from our mistakes and run from our victimizations, we're never gonna develop. I think development comes from going through the treacherous forest, not over it or around it. Like
I don't
if you
do
think about every action movie, what if the protagonists had just done that? Like, no development would be made whatsoever.
that. Yeah, so okay, so going through, all right, the forest might be a better version. Because through the forest there's a journey. Well, either way, I guess there's a journey. Like if you were to go around the forest, you may be always, that's like a version of searching instead of dealing with it head on. So maybe if you try to like divert from what you know you must do, which is go through the wall, go through the forest, that's like the work, the inner work that you need to do to heal, to get to that side of forgiveness. Because if you go around the wall, or try to go around the wall, try to go around the forest, you may never reach the end where you can actually go around the forest. That's a longer journey where you're still stuck on the same side of guilt, shame, fear, whatever. So you're just searching for something that
I
may
would
never happen.
argue, that's where a lot of people get stuck. I mean,
You're
you just watch a
searching.
decade go by, and either you or someone you know is still the same person with the same problem, and it's been 10 years. I think it's because they tried to go around the forest and not through it. So what happens when you go around the forest? Not only is it a longer journey, but you don't grow from the treachery that's within the forest. So 10 years later, same person, same problem. No development.
Yep, so it goes, okay, so the development is the goal. And I think people are afraid of the development. So if we go back to, you know, the story of Buddha and Ananda, if there was no people along the way, that journey to encourage him to keep going, he probably would have either not entered the forest and not, you know, gone to that destination at all, or would have stopped after a short amount of time and just given up. So where do we go from that aspect when we feel, you know, stuck or uninspired?
You mean stuck in terms of not going through the forest? You feel stuck, or?
I guess, let's say you begin your work to forgive and to move on into whatever that destination may be. So you begin this work on where you may go, but you don't know where to go. So like you just entered the forest, but you don't know which way is forward, which way is backwards, which way is left or right. So where do you go from there?
Hey, that's a really tough answer. I'm not sure any one person can answer that. I mean, it depends on what your situation is, who you are, and all the participants involved. And, you know, the best advice I could personally give is doing it afraid. You know, and I know that's scary as hell. No pun intended, but I mean, it's like you have to deal with afraid, and you might be embarrassed, you might be humbled, but it's the only way that I can see.
You know, that was actually a pretty good answer. Doing it afraid, I think, is much better than, you know, stopping and not doing anything at all.
Yes, but sometimes our society kind of demotes doing it afraid. It's like either you have all the confidence or you don't. And it's like, and if you try to be someone who kind of struggles their way up and try to be in between, people call you on it. They want to give you criticism, and many people want to put you down. So it's very hard to have that in between and gradually work your way up with people knowing about it, because everyone wants to have a comment.
Right. And I guess that journey is everybody's own. So I guess anyone else's input isn't really necessary. You know, unsolicited advice, you know, if you're not willing to be a student, you're not going to be hearing any advice.
I think that's the key word, be it like a student. Yeah. It's like, I think a lot of us like society really promotes like perfectionism, like being the best. And I think it doesn't promote being a student enough. It just promotes like being confident, even though like you don't have real confidence. And I think that's where that fake it till you make it thing comes in. And it's like, that just gets in the way of you learning how to have real confidence. It shouldn't be fake it till you make it. It should be a student of life, be a student till master, not fake it till you make it. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard, and I know firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a hardcore lie. Like if I was to give like someone the most egregious lie, I'd be like, fake it until you make it. I mean, it may ring true for some. I mean, there might be like a small percentage that might actually make it wherever they're going. But, you know, there's also like that little, like if someone's trying to be rich, you know, and you're like, just fake it, pretend you're rich and you'll be rich. And then, you know, someone might, you know, come across someone's wallet and they have like $500 there, you know, they steal the money and they give the person their wallet, you know, what good has really done there, you know, what growth has actually happened.
I think I have another example. Instagram, fake it till you make it. And I don't even think I got to explain myself on that one.
No, we don't even have to dive any further on that.
Yeah, and this is a pretty lengthy segment of the video, but accurately timed. I think we ought to break this up into a second part. And yeah, I mean, is there any final statements you want to lay down before we move on to part two?
Just one is that when we're being a student, you can be a student for so long and then become a master. But then once you reach that master level, you have to be a student again. So it's like an endless cycle of be a student, become a master, be a student again, become a master, be a student again.
I think this, yes, I completely agree. And just to add on to that, I think a perfect example is, it gave us a perfect example. Oh, yes.
Come on, Zach, let's go.
I'm coming, dude. Okay, keep your fucking pants on, all right? Like, okay, so this quote, I got off to interest. This quote says, if you're the smartest one in the room, you're probably in the wrong room.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
that. And that means, like, and that means you're a student till master. Then once you're a master, you got to change your league because you blow out all the sims below you. So, I mean, what happens when you get better? You move up to a different league, a higher tier of player, you know? You don't just stay in the same league once you hit the best. Like, what are you doing? You're not advancing your career.